the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. Well, it's good to be back. And unfortunately, this cold weather has, thrown a little wrench in the start of our Lenten season. But nevertheless, all these things are in God's holy will. And these are small, of course. And one of the things that I'm always amazed is when there's a question, are we going to have services or aren't we going to have services? If we do have service, the people who show up are the ones who come from the furthest away. And literally, this is true. If you look around, you can see that the people who come from the furthest away, they're able to make it, amazingly enough. So anyway, I commend you for your willingness to come and to worship this day. And actually, as we begin the time of the Great Fast, to ponder this time and to begin this time well. In order to do that, the church is, of course, giving us certain directives, certain guidelines, things we should be doing during Great Lent to make it a spiritually fruitful time. But the first thing the Lord mentions in the gospel that we take today is the one I'd like to just focus for a minute on, and that is this notion of the forgiveness of one another and the reconciliation and the peace that is exchanged. And we'll celebrate the Vespers, the Forgiveness Vespers, before we leave today. But it's important, you know, it's not just simply, well, let's have a service and take care of this. To be honest with you, if you think about it, after a while, if you go around the Orthodox calendar a few times, the fasting, you know, you get used to it. You know, and you get used to coming to the services, you get used to doing the various disciplines. But I've found that this forgiveness thing is maybe the hardest thing that we're called upon to do. And we're called upon to do it from the beginning and to maintain the spirit of mercy and forgiveness in our hearts throughout the Lenten season and not stop there. We have so many splendid examples before us as to how this works, really and truly. Last night I was getting caught up on some of my reading, and I was reading the address of the Antiochian Metropolitan Joseph, and also of the message that was sent with the Patriarch to the church, the Antiochian Orthodox Church in America, upon Metropolitan's elevation. But one of the things he said in there was just something that the Antiochians and the Syrians say all the time, is that they are a church that has suffered horrifically because of the persecution, the civil war, in ways that we cannot even imagine. And even some of the bishops personally have lost family members. And this is the kind of thing that can tear people apart. It will tear families apart. It will destroy people. But the thing that is always present, that's always overflowing, if you read any of the statements by the bishops of the Syrian or the Antiochian church about this, it's always a message of mutuality. It's always a message of mercy. It's always a message of forgiveness of those who are perpetrators of the evils against them. And the evils are many. And in that very same spirit, you only need to read just a little bit to see how our brothers and sisters in the Coptic Church have extended from their hearts this same mercy, this same forgiveness, deep within the cultural awareness. They know, having suffered over and over again and again and feeling the pain, nevertheless, they have within them this inner sense of what Christ is talking about in the gospel, that we cannot make one step toward God and ask his forgiveness if we're not willing to forgive one another. And so the reason why they can come before the Lord in faith and why they can go to their martyr making an offering to God is because their hearts are pure. Well, not perfectly maybe, but deep down in their hearts, you know, that forgiveness as it was uttered from the lips of St. Stephen, the first martyr, Father, forgive them. Uttered from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, Father, forgive them. These are the words of the true Christian spirit and the true Lenten spirit. The beginning point for us. You know, we call the period of Lent a spiritual tithe in the church. It's a tithe, the fathers say, of our time. And the way that works is it's basically 40 days, or about 10% of the year. And so we consecrate this 10% of the year to the Lord as an offering to God. And what does the Lord say about the offering? He says, before you go and make an offering to the Lord, ask yourself, does my neighbor hold anything against me? And if so, go reconcile. And then come back and make your offering. And so it's in the same spirit of forgiveness that we extend forgiveness and that we seek and ask for forgiveness from one another. And as I mentioned before, that for me, oftentimes, this is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest. You know, the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving even. Sometimes, you know, it can seemingly be easy. But the thing about forgiveness is this. You see, fasting and almsgiving can be very superficial. You just go through it, you just do it, you know, whatever. You get used to it. And even prayer. You know, we can go through the prayers. But when it comes to forgiveness, that is something that must go to the soul. True forgiveness is this forgiveness of the soul. And I think we know it when we're faking it. When we're saying with our lips, Lord, forgive them, or I forgive you, and deep down, there's no forgiveness at all. You see, this perhaps points out, and this notion of forgiveness and forgiving others tests us as to whether or not we are serious. Whether or not the undoing of sin in the world is really, really what we want. Because that's what all this great Lent is about. You know, today is dedicated to remembrance of the casting of Adam and Eve from paradise and the beginning of and the remembrance of that original sin that started us down this path where we have offended God and where we lie outside of the gates of paradise and that we are at enmity with one another. And this whole messed up world that we know, that is ours. And depending on how many years you've been living, it's your 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, or in my case, 60, or 80 or 90 years of messed up life that you've had. Okay. The question is, do we really long to see that overturned? And this forgiveness as the first movement of the heart is the way of saying, yes, it's like turning toward the light of Christ. And saying, yes, Lord, that's what I want in my life. I want this, your mercy, your forgiveness. And I'm going to seek that in the course of this great Lent, but I'm going to live it in my life. And so we extend that forgiveness. We extend it in simple ways. You know, we do it ritually and liturgically, you know, in the Vespers, forgiveness Vespers. But there are many other wonderful, quiet, humble moments that we can extend that to one another and to people who are not here but who still need our forgiveness and from whom we need to receive forgiveness. You know, I'm not sure if it's harder to do, which one is harder to do, to ask for forgiveness or to extend it. They're probably both equally difficult because it requires a movement and an action of the heart. Whenever we get serious about forgiveness, then it means that we're moving past just the superficiality of a Christianity that really isn't Christianity at all. And where the possibility of offering an acceptable gift to God becomes truly real, the acceptable gift of our lives to Him. And that's really what Great Lent is about, too. It's about the committal of our life to the Lord in this time, in these days, but really it's a symbol of the whole commitment of the self. It's a reminder of the ancient baptismal rite, which is what, you know, the Great Lent was originally a preparation for the catechumens in their final preparation before baptism. But what was that all about? It was about the total commitment of their life to Jesus. And that's what we've got to be about. And so we seek his forgiveness. And you know, the Lord will place us in situations where others offend us. And we will be tested. You know, maybe we won't be tested in the same way that the Syrians were, or have been, or the Coptic Egyptian Christians. But we will be tested. And may the Lord our God allow us the grace to open our hearts, to extend forgiveness, to ask forgiveness, and to ask mercy into the fallen corner of the world that is entrusted to us. That our own little corner of the world, may it be a place of grace. May whoever walks into your house, if they've offended you, may they receive your forgiveness. May they receive healing because of it. May you extend that. May you receive it yourself in the course of this great fast, in your own confession of sins, and in your own relationship with others. And in this way, the Great Lent will truly be the time of richness that we seek, that we know it is meant to be, and that the time of Pascha will truly be one of glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.